Hello and welcome to Watch Your Crap Ins, a podcast about all the crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the one and only hilarious and handsome Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Ben?
Doing absolutely wonderfully. We're here today to talk Southern Charm. It's the second episode of the season, of the ninth season. Before we dive into that, come join us on Patreon. You know, we love our Patreon moments. We do our video there. We call it Crappins On Demand. You can watch videos for all of our shows. Go support a Crappins On Demand level, patreon.com/watchforcrappins. We also do a weekly bonus, and this weekly bonus is very special because we have a special guest, Miss Taylor Strecker of The Taylor Strecker Show and Taste of Taylor. We love Taylor, so we spend a lot of time talking about Summer House and the cast and what's going on and the Vanderpump Rules spinoff, a lot of like Bravo gossiping and predictions and stuff like that. Really, really fun. So go check that out. And then next week we've got Dwell Hello on the feed, which is a Wondery Plus exclusive. And the week after that, Crappy Hour is back. That'll be on our Instagram. So follow us on Instagram at Watch What Crappins and at Ronnie Karam and at Ben Mandelker. So do all those things and your life will, I think, actually be complete. You may have thought you wanted other things in life, but that's actually really all you need, and then your life will be perfect. So go do that. Southern Charm, Ronnie. Wow. So we saw some new faces on Southern Charm tonight or last night. What'd you think?
You know, I'm impressed that Southern Charm decided to just go for it. let's just bring in half a new cast. And I mean, Taylor's been there and Olivia's been there, but these are second season that they stuck with, even though they were kind of pointless in their first season, honestly. I don't even remember Taylor talking very much in her first season at all, and Olivia was just annoying and fake. I didn't buy one thing from her. But the fact that they were like, nope, that's just first season, let's give them another chance and see where this goes, and let's keep Leva, let's keep Vanita, even though she's just going to be playing with her dog in her yard, let's give it a shot. And you know what, I think it worked. And remembered that this show is about douchebags, and they brought in three new douchebags. I mean, so way good. To make an effort, show.
That's yeah, what I say. I have to say, I agree. I mean, this show is always really good for it has a rhythm. It has a douchebag season, and then we're like, fuck these douchebags. And then there's a season that's all about the women. And then you're like, yeah, we love the women because we fucking hate the douchebags. And then you have a season where it's sort of all kind of meh. And then they reset and go back to the douchebags. So we're at the start of the douchebag cycle. And I'm really into it. I think this is actually technically Taylor's third season, but her first season was super minor. I feel like Taylor and Olivia are the Saturday Night Live featured players who are now full-fledged cast members. And so that's exciting for them. And we now have JT, which is a nice variation on JD of the past. And
I got scared when I heard the name JT.
Me too. Didn't you?
I was like, you're going to... I was like, Bravo's uncanceled JT.
That's what I really thought. I genuinely thought that too.
Yeah. But it wasn't, I say. It was... It was this new guy who is a wow. Did he stipple on his beard hair? He's like a guy playing an older guy. He's not older, but it looks like he's in a community theater and he was cast to play an old man. And so he's putting on age makeup, some eyeliner lines on his face, and then stippling on some 5 o'clock shadow beard. And weird. I'm not really sure what that's about.
When he showed up, I initially was like, oh, God. Oh my God. I'm going to hate this guy. But I actually wound up really enjoying him. And I think the reason why is because I think his short guy energy, short king energy was really much needed, because we have these really tall assholes on this show. And you need someone who has a little bit of that Napoleon complex, who's just he's shorter and he's going to overcompensate by having kind of a chippy persona. But also an insecure persona. I really liked that in the mix of these guys.
Yeah. Now the other guy, Olivia's love interest, I think it's fitting because it's Olivia, and I think Olivia's really fake. Olivia was clearly just brought on to move to this show and date Austin, be Austin's love interest, and that's fake. I don't like when... I feel like when things read as fake, they don't make for good TV, and I never bought any of that. And so it looks like she's doing that again with this new guy. This new guy's like, okay, I'll be on your show. Who should I date? And they're like, Olivia's free. And so they're just going to date now for TV. So I feel like that's kind of a continuation of something that I shouldn't be feeling. Now, that said, even if they're faking it, I feel like their chemistry is at least so more than it was better. Before, right?
I was about to say, I was like, but their chemistry was so much better. And this guy, I mean, he has a really douchey voice, the way he talks, but I already sense that he's like such a vast improvement over Austin. So even him, I enjoyed his presence on the show.
And a gay. We got a gay.
We got a gay.
And it was not your standard Bravo gay, which is interesting. Now, there's nothing wrong with that type of gay, obviously. We're all different crayons in a box, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
But this guy is just not the normal Bravo type of gay that we have. Bravo likes it extra gay. So
yeah,
if they're going to let a gay person on the show, they're like, turn it up to 900 gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This this gay was more like, he was like a bro. He was like a un-ironed shirt bro gay. He was sort of like, what's his face? This character on Happy Endings. I'm blanking all of a sudden. But like the gay who was on Happy Endings, which is a great show. And I'm so like mortified. I can't remember the character's name. But yeah, I liked seeing a different kind of gay. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. He's like a swampy gay, you know, just like because the air is so thick over swampy there and gay. Hot. He's just like a hot gay. He's just like, I'm really hot. This is all I can do today. It's a backwards baseball cap
with an old Eddie Bauer shirt.
That's it. That's all you're getting. No one else here is gay. Like, who's even going to judge me? There's no gays to judge me here. So,
yeah, listen, this is a gay who has been beaten down by even trying to commingle with the gaze of Southern hospitality. And he's like, TJ, between TJ and Mikkel, he's like, it's a lot. I'm just going to be a rumpled gay. That's just what I am. I'm just rumpled.
Yeah, he's like, rumpled. I don't have the energy for that kind of gay. Okay. So anyway, end of the preamble, but seems yeah. Promising.
I'm into it. I really enjoyed it. So on with the show.
And then all this exciting music, it's like there's Follies girls going past with feathers. And then we go to Vanita in her backyard going, Charles.
Fucking Charles.
Charles is taking a shit right now. I was like, wow, really? To Vanita's dog pooping.
I know. Like, I enjoy Vanita. I like her as like a person. I feel like she has not quite popped the way I've been rooting for her to pop. Charles is not helping. I think Charles may be one of our least charismatic dogs on Bravo. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to have to do this to you, Vanita, but your dog, it's time. It's time to take him off camera. It's not meant
to TV. Get rid of Charles, okay? Drop Charles off. Have Dorit come pick up Charles and take him for a ride, okay? Because this is enough. I've had enough. Also, editors, if you know that you have a cast member who has nothing going on, don't just fucking sit at their house all day. Like, Vanita has showed you. They're like, Vanita, just be yourself. It's like if I was on TV, I would be like, okay, I do nothing. Here's what I did. My dog's going poop. And that's all she has. Don't sit there all day waiting for her to do something. She's already proven to you over and over, she's not doing it. Just film her when she's doing something.
Don't feed with this. Don't open the episode, okay? So then we go to, meanwhile.
Charles is taking a shit right now. What the fuck?
And it doesn't get much better because then we go to Olivia microwaving oatmeal and it explodes. And look,
here's my note. Olivia microwaves something like it's her first time. You can tell this girl does not know how to do anything by her fucking self.
Nope.
And then it explodes.
This is the second week in a row that she's made a mess in the beginning of the show. Last week, she's throwing poop into a local creek, and now she's exploding oatmeal all over her microwave.
And all the people leaving comments going, Ronnie, why are you being so mean to Olivia? Her dad told her to throw it over the creek. Okay, well, fuck that guy, too. You think that makes it better? It's a whole family of people flinging shit into a creek.
Okay? Generational trauma. That's what you call that.
And don't tell me, oh, it's just for creeks. That's what you do to creek. No, that's not what you do to a marsh. That's disgusting. Throw your poop away.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to be in support of that. So then we go to, I love this. We then go to Taylor, who's like with her roommate, Louise. I'm like, I don't know who Louise is, but I want more Louise because Louise hates Taylor, clearly, and has been stuck listening to Taylor bitch about Shep for months. And Louise is just sitting there and Louise is like, So you had a busy weekend, I guess. Okay, just tell me the Shep story. And she's like, well, yeah, Shep. I saw Shep for the first time in a couple of months. Louise is like, great. How was that? Okay, I'm going to put in a podcast. Just talk for the next 10 minutes. Okay.
I'm listening to Morbid right now in one ear. Go ahead. Literally, well, just keep talking.
You know, when you like see like an ex for their first time and like your heart just like drops into your butt. You know, Louise. I mean, do you have an ex, Louise? Oh, you don't. You never dated anyone, did you, Louise?
But I love that Louise didn't even say, yeah, I know that. She just went, whoa. Like, she clearly, I agree with you. She clearly hates her. I've been roommates with Louise, nine times over the course of my life. I always love a Louise in my life.
Please make Louise a cast member. I loved Louise.
Louise's amount of fuck you was so funny. Because, you know, Taylor just, like, she found Louise on Craigslist, you know, and Taylor was in a rough spot and just needed somewhere. Like, I don't have a job. I don't have anything. And Louise is like, okay, come on over. And so she's been living with Louise, talking about her problems. She knows nothing about Louise. No. She's never asked Louise a question. And then she's sitting here crying all day when she's traveling the globe to go to World Cups, we find out later.
Yes. You know,
to stay in other people's mansions and like rich guys' mansions and stuff. And Louise wants her dead. Okay.
Louise is
and
over
I'm team
it.
Louise.
Louise, the energy Louise was giving was the lady from Homeless Not Toothless at that dinner party just staring at all the Real Housewives fighting. That was Louise's energy. I want Louise to be at every group dinner and she doesn't have to say nothing. Just at the end of the table, just watching everyone and disgusted.
Yeah, Louise for president, man. Team Louise.
Team Louise. Jeez. So then we see Madison throwing out the dildo that Taylor got her. She's like, this is disgusting. And then Craig is driving and he's talking to Paige on the phone. And she's like, hello. And he's like, hey, what's up, baby? I'm getting a manicure and doing something just like 10 times more interesting than whatever you're about to talk to me about. So, yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Well, I'm going to golf with Austin and JT. I really miss you.
She goes, oh, yeah, I miss me too. So I'm going to go back to me now. Bye.
It's like, wait.
Let's talk more. She goes, all right, how was Madison's party?
So he tells us, he's like, look, what Taylor said about Paige is bullshit, but I know Taylor didn't mean it, so I'm not going to hold this above her head. And am I going to talk to Paige about it? No, I don't think she needs to know about it.
Really? Someone just told you your girlfriend cheated on you? Even if you trust your girlfriend, you should tell her that that was said about her. And how do you know, Paige? Hey, did you see the comment on Comments by Celebs? Someone said, girl, you know that Paige doesn't have the energy to cheat.
I think I did see that. Did you say that's why I'm in bed all day or something?
No, Paige said, oh no, like seriously, I'm dying right now. I'm like literally dying right now.
It's true. She doesn't. So then, then Craig's just talking about this Madison party and he's like, yeah, like Brett is great. Like I'd love to go on a double date with him and Madison. And Paige goes, oh, good. Which is her way of saying, like, just tell me when that date is, and I'll be sure to be in New York.
Yeah, who's going to be your date for your side of the devil? Because, bye. Get smarter. Quick.
I'm sorry. Peas are on sale at the store, so I can't come to Charleston this weekend.
So now we go to Republic. Oh, yeah. Exciting. And Taylor comes in with something that looks like a dress box. And she's like, hello, Republic team. And Leva's got her team out there. Like, TJ's standing there like, season 2 coming soon.
It was very much like that. And there was a new guy named Robbie who's like the bar manager. And he's like, and Robbie. And I was like, no, we're not sure about you, Robbie, just yet. But the box, it turns out, is a box of alcohol because Taylor is now one of these people that goes bar to bar selling booze, which is sad. And
yeah, they're called alcohol reps. I mean, I call them pharmaceutical reps, but I mean, to each their own. Like, I feel like we deserve to give these people a more respectful title. Okay. It is called self-medicating for a reason. Give the woman some respect.
I call alcohol reps in LA aspiring models and actors, personally. So Taylor, because we all have seen them going up and down Sunset Strip, Cabo Cantina. Oh, yeah. Have you guys tried Loco Monster cocktail poopy face? It's such a good cocktail. And you're like,
isn't it time girls had some beer? Like, what if there was like something flavored and sparkling for women with low calories?
I'm like, okay.
Please enjoy fizzy grap. So then so Taylor's like, so last year I was working as an orthodontic assistant, and I love my job, but I gave everything up to travel with Shep because at the time I thought it was the right decision. Because I thought we were getting married and settling down and having kids, but instead I was just out of a job, nothing else lined up. So
thanks for that, Shep, she says. Taylor, I can't with Taylor right now. I mean, look, part of it is because I literally had to remind myself in the show, Ronnie, she can't hear you. You know what I mean? Because I'm yelling at the TV. Like, I told you. How many times did everybody in the whole country was yelling at you? No, Taylor, don't do it. Shep is never going to marry. Shep is abusive emotionally at the very least. Run. And you wouldn't listen. It's like, she can't hear you. You're yelling at a Vizio. You're yelling at the cheapest TV from Costco, Ronnie. Nobody can hear you through that.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that Taylor probably got her orthodontic assistant job back, but like, I'm sure it did not go well, because I can just imagine a kid sitting there getting metal put on his teeth, and she's like, oh yeah, kid, you're enjoying braces? Well, brace for this. You're going to cheat on a girl someday. Thanks a lot. Like, okay, Taylor, we're going to need you to calm down when we're putting braces on children.
So you've got a cavity. I take it you've been eating ice cream, probably given to you by some whore you stuck it in. They're like, whoa, Taylor, this is a family environment.
Okay. So here's your night guard that you'll be using. And when you get older, you're going to want to put it around your groin, because you're probably going to want to fuck around on every girl.
Please commit to flossing like no man will ever commit to me properly. Okay, thanks.
Here's your retaining that does not include relationships, though, apparently. So go enjoy.
So let's see. So yeah, she's everyone feels for Taylor, but everyone is really trying hard to not say told you so, stupid, you know. So Leva is like, okay, sell her to me. Go ahead, Taylor, sell it. You know, Leva up there just encouraging everyone with that special Leva energy.
She's on Minotank. She's like trying to be like, okay, do you want me to invest in your weird cocktail? So Taylor's like, okay, so this is a cocktail in a can, and it's real alcohol, which, by the way, I love that as a selling point for a cocktail, real alcohol.
It's not fake alcohol, guys, so that's good. These are the flavors are, I mean, I think tequila grapefruit, that's our version of a espresso martini. I don't know. Palomar? The packaging is pretty. I think the packaging is really pretty.
I can't get the can out of the box. It's just... It's like, I can't get it out of the box. Sort of like how I can't get Shep out of his old ways. I can't change things. I can't change it. The cans must stay where it is. Anyway, it tastes good.
It's called Day Chaser. It's 100 calories, gluten-free, 1 gram of sugar, no added sugar. And Taylor's like, okay, I guess I'll just leave it in the box. And Leva's like, yeah, this is painful. This is really bad. And then Taylor tells us, she goes... Well, honestly, I never really saw myself as a salesperson. Really?
Because you're so good at it. You have a natural gift.
But Shep had a buddy who was looking for a rep. I was like, Shep got you this job? Come on, Taylor. You're taking jobs from Shep buddies. No, run, Taylor. Cut the cord. You're hot, you're petite, and you're blonde in the South. Like, people will literally hand you whatever you want, okay? Take it from a Texan. Stop taking jobs from Shep contacts and get the fuck away, man. Cut the cord, darling, for your own sake.
So Leva says, well, this booze, like, we have to find ways to make sure people know that we carry it. Like, we can pick it up and it just sits there. But, like, you know, if you come in and promote it, then people will be like, oh, let me try it. You poor, unfortunate soul, come work for Republic. That's what you're doing.
Well, I don't know. Do you think Leva would let her work at Republic?
She just wants anything to ensure that there's another season for Southern Hospitality, I think. I think she's like, let's just lock in someone else from Southern Charm.
I think they're shooting it.
Yeah,
I think there is a second season.
There is. There 100% was a second season. It's probably already shot. But
I just think the idea of people being like, oh my God, look at that girl who's not talking, drinking that thing. I wonder what that thing is. Wow, amazing.
I like the idea of Taylor getting sucked into the world of Republic, and like in a few episodes she's like, so growing up, like, music is something that my family liked, so I'm like a DJ now also, and I'm also like a hostess. She's just on the sidewalk like, come in to Republic, come in.
Come in, not you whore, stay out, whore. It's time for a commercial.
It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus. I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage, Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park, or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
So Love is like, okay, well, should we sit down and drink some of these while I let TJ call you stupid in 19 different ways with his eyes? Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
Because Love and Taylor sit down at the bar to talk, and then TJ just stands right between them and is like, okay, conversation with three of us, rat. I'm like, TJ, get out of there.
Don't worry, TJ's not actually going to say anything with words, only his eyes. And TJ's like, oh no, I'll say it. You're dumber than a can of spray here. Okay, now I'm just going to stand over here and look you up and down a million times.
It's either this or back to my apartment again. So Love is like, so the last time we saw each other was a debacle a little bit. Like, I don't want you to be that person. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. So as I was saying, come work at Republic because you definitely won't embarrass yourself here.
And Taylor says, yeah, but Craig, like what he said, that was really mean to me. And, you know, there's a rumor that Paige has not been faithful. And Love goes, yeah, but that's just a rumor. Okay. She says, yeah, but I just, you know what? I just said it to be hurtful to Craig. Because, you know, when you see your ex and your heart sinks, and Love is like, nope, actually happily married. So you're just going to keep trying that to everybody that you meet today. I'm sorry to Louise you, but I'm like going to, I'm going to opposite of Louise you. Taylor, just say I'm too happy for this conversation. So.
Hey Taylor, I hate to break it to you, we're only in the third minute of the show, and you've had the same conversation twice already. So I can't be the Louise to you today.
So she's like, yeah, I just went 100 to 0. I mean, 0 to 100. I had nothing to do with Craig, and I regret it. I just wanted to be the big bad bitch in the room. And TJ goes, well, did Shep ever reach out to you? Did he ever reach out? And she's like, Shep has like 0 fucks to give, okay? 0 fucks. You know what it's like when an ex gives 0 fucks? You know the only fucks Shep is giving to? Whores. Whores. Give them to- She's like, okay, someone take Taylor out of here. I know. She's not ready yet.
She's like, before I leave though, TJ, do you ever have that feeling when you see an ex and your heart just falls down into your balls? And he's like, no, I'm not Louise either. So,
oh gosh, I love that she goes, yeah, he gives 0 fucks. And Lovett goes, yeah. But hey, day chaser.
Yeah, well, we're going to drink this. We're going to drink it. We're going to put on a big sign and parade it.
Poor sad Taylor. Oh my gosh.
So now we go to a golf course, and Craig and Austin arrive, and then this new guy, JT, and he's sort of like a small, ratty kind of guy. He sort of looks like, in some ways, he looks like every guy on Southern Charm ever rolled into one. Like a little Ravenel, a little JT.
He looks like a Ravenel to me. He looks exactly like Thomas Ravenel, just younger. Like a I watch a show called Foundation, and it's a clone. Like, the kings are all clones, and whenever one dies, they just bring another one out of it. It's this, it's that. It's like they just brought out season one Thomas Ravenel.
Yeah, I definitely can see it. So Austin's like, what's up with these Legend of Bagger Vance clubs that you got going on? And then JT's like, oh, remember when I skunked you last time I played? Remember these guys, these clubs?
Craig's like, are you guys already needling each other?
And Austin's like, yeah, but seriously, why? Why are they so old, brah?
Well, you could use these today if you want to try them out. Maybe they'll bring better fortune to you.
And Austin goes, oh, I think they're a little short for me, JT, because he, you know what Austin has, and he's never going to let you forget it. Tall privilege. Tall okay? privilege. We've seen it on this show how someone as mediocre as Austin, whose mouth literally hangs open with flies coming in and out of it, food flying everywhere every time he eats, can get girls. Because he's 6'4". And you know what? You can have any kind of intellect you want. If you go up against a 6'4" blonde guy from the South, he wins no matter what. He's just going to remind you anything you say, he's just going to call you short. Let's watch that unfold.
Listen, you can't fail upwards if you're not tall, okay? Otherwise, you're just failing forwards. And that's what he does. Look, no intellect, no personality, no body, no charm. No closed mouth, and doing great in life. That's tall privilege.
Tall privilege. So Craig is telling us that he met JT a couple of years ago when JT moved to Charleston, and then JT's whipping out a bottle of scotch or something, and he's like, you want a cup or you want to be a man, Austin, and drink it from the bottle? And Austin's like, I will take a cup, a tall cup, you short little fuck.
I'll have a tall boy, please. So Craig's like, at first, I was like, who is this kid with, like, a little bit of a Napoleon complex? But he grew on me, and, like, we became friends. It's like, he bought you something, didn't he? Yeah. He bought you dinner, right?
He invested in sewing down south or some shit.
He bought a pillow.
So JT is trying to be a badass with his bottle of booze in his first scene, and he's like, see you, boys, and tries to race them to the tee, but he goes the wrong way. So they're
just off to the parking lot. So so then they start golfing, and they're like, they're sort of like being bro-y, and JT's like, hey, that was a pretty good shot. That's a pretty good shot. I mean, it's a short par four. Oh, yeah? You're a short par four.
They're so bad. So this poor little man, you know? So JT's like, yeah, I've known these guys for a long time. We play golf. We hang out. When COVID hit, I made Charleston my home, and now I live in this little Charleston bubble. I see these guys hanging out downtown, and soon we became friends, and it's the best bubble. I'm never leaving this bubble. Do you know how many girls hang around that lamppost of a man?
Truly brings new meaning to bubble, toil, and trouble. Also, is Charleston bubble, is that just a redundancy? Do we need both words? I don't know. So Craig is like, JT, I want to hear more about this trip with Taylor. And he's like, oh yeah, we have to unpack with Taylor. So we went to Europe to watch the World Cup. Craig's like, what? How'd that even happen? Why does the world even have a cup? That's crazy. Does it have a dish too? Tell me more about this.
Isn't that dangerous? Everybody sharing from the same cup after COVID? Like, do we even get straws for that cup? I mean, I know Charleston's like the only place still serving those, but still.
Do you think there can be a world pillow? Because I can get started on that.
So JT is like, well, yeah, I had this trip planned for 2 years. Here's the plan. Go to England, go to Paris. World Cup. So I just bought this huge house in England and in Paris. Both. Huge house. And I invited some girls to come. And, you know, all my friends, whoever wants to come. Big ass house. So, you know, I've known Taylor a long time. So obviously she's pretty sweet and funny. So I was like, bring your friends, Taylor. And in Paris, then she hooked up with my friend. I was like, wow, this is so sad. So you're in love with Taylor. You pay for this giant house to impress Taylor. You tell her to bring all your girlfriends to freeload off of you in both homes. And then Taylor hooks up with another one of your friends. Oh, so poor JT.
Poor JT. So then Craig is like, she did. And Austin goes, yeah, she actually like told me this. She called me when she was over there still. So I guess I'm just like a little closer to Taylor than JT is maybe. And JT is like, I've got a question. Does it bother Shep that you guys are so close, Austin? And Craig's like, It would bother me, I'll tell you that. I think it's his way of staying in touch with her, though, and I think it comforts him, and, like, that's how fucked up it is that, like, she goes and drinks from a cup of the world, and then, like, Shep just has to sit and wait for someone to, like, bring him a little thimbleful because, like, he's, like, has to wait for Taylor and stuff like that.
I used to talk about bro code, but now I figured out my own code. Like, you don't talk to friends' exes, you don't clean up after yourself because your parents owned a maid service, and if you're lost on a beach with your friend's girlfriend, dig a hole with her and sleep in it until the morning comes.
So JT basically tells Austin, hey, you can't be loyal to Shep and Taylor because it's going to come back to bite you, and if it doesn't, I'm going to help it come back to bite you. Just wait.
So then we get some boom, 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 romantic bump-a-dumps for Olivia and Rod. Is it Rod?
Rod. We have two Rods. Thanks a lot.
Oh my gosh. How often do you come across a Rod?
I know. We got all the Rod. All of a sudden, this show already had too many Rods as it was. A bubba dump.
It's the season of Rods. Am I right? Southern Charm. Back to the Rods.
So Rod talks like a tech bro. He's very tech bro talky. And he's like, hi there. He's like, he's sort of like a smoothed over Carl also in terms of voice. So he's like, hey, here's a vanilla blonde for a not so vanilla blonde. And she's like,
what a cheese ball.
He's really cheesy.
He's really cheesy. And he does this thing where he's just kind of like looks around all the time and does this dashing smile that he's practiced in the mirror a million times, like total douche. And I think very practiced too. I don't know. They're in the South though. So maybe you have to do this kind of stuff. But his whole like, wow, you're gluten free. So I got gluten free bread for you from a different place that the sandwich was made. I had them deliver the bread to me. Then I took it to the sandwich place and I had them specially make it, my little blonde princess. Ding.
Literally more energy that any man on this show has ever shown towards any woman though, to be fair.
I know. It makes me not trust it. I'm like, this is, you're from the same town. I don't believe you. Are you going to murder her? What's happening?
So Olivia says that the roommates moved out officially today, aka her parents. And he's like, do you feel like an empty nester? You sort of got some Christy McNichol in you, little Dinah Manoff. You know what I'm saying? You not get that reference? Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Yeah, they're way too young for that one, Ben. No, yeah, I think not on this cast.
Is there a dog named Dreyfus coming by? No? Okay.
She's like, yeah, I feel bad because actually they were like never really empty nesters and never really got that chance. And he's like, well, that's what happens when you have a roommate. So that's their like little flirtation stuff. And she's talking about how it's so hard dating in Charleston because she's ancient in the South. Like at 30, if you don't have kids, you're shriveled up in dust. Basically,
it's never too late. Okay, Marcy, you can go now. We know you're pregnant.
I got a baby now.
I'm pregnant. So, he brings these sandwiches and he's like, by the way, I've been told that I'm like a really bad eater. So I'll try my best not to eat. I try my best not to eat on first and second dates. I'm like, sir. The last person she dated was Austin. He was basically like a one-man food processor.
That's true. But also, you know who else is a terrible eater? Olivia. Oh, my God. I'm like, you're a perfect couple then. You've officially met your match. Olivia eats like... And talks while she's eating. She's like, really? Is this gluten-free bread? Is that gluten-free? I'm like, wow, your parents literally taught you nothing. What did you even do in that house? What did they do?
The Hollywood needs to hire her to stand over windows and eat coleslaw so it looks like it's snowing outside in Christmas.
You eat with your mouth open. You can't use a microwave. You throw shit over your fence. Were your parents even there? Are they really even parents? Like, what? Come on.
She's a mess.
I'm sorry. She actually says, after all this food flirtation, she goes, yeah, he's really chivalrous, and it's, like, so refreshing. It makes me want to give him a shot. I mean, you can't compare him to Austin, because, like, then I was Neverland, but now I guess I'm back to Earth. That is so rude to say about somebody. Like, wow, well, I guess, you know, I had in my head Austin, but come back to Earth. Now I've got Rod. No. You know?
With rude. Austin, you were on the Ocean Gate Explorer, okay? And now you are back on dry land. You managed to escape a terrible fate. So Olivia's like...
You were on a carnival cruise, and you've moved over to a princess cruise. It's like a slightly upward lateral move. You know what I mean?
You were at Club Med, and now you've escaped to a Chick-fil-A just outside the exterior of Club Med. And as someone who's actually done that before, like, it's a very real experience. you feel like you've actually advanced, and you're like, ugh, so glad to not be at Club Med anymore. I can finally eat some real food, but you're just still only at Chick-fil-A.
Well, thank God for the prayer on the cup, Leanne. So Olivia's like, yeah, good men are a dime a dozen in Charleston.
He's like, I think you got that term backwards because that means there's a lot of them. She goes, no, a dime a dozen means there's not a lot. Do I have that wrong?
Do I have that wrong? And they're cracking it up. And he's like, oh my God, I love stupid people. That is so funny. Hey, look, it's a tour bus. They're probably on their mic like, hey, look on the left. You'll see 100 white people and one brown guy. Wave at the brown guy, everybody.
And a human coleslaw maker. That's Olivia over there. So
Rob's she's like, oh my God, I'm getting a headache from laughing so much. My throat is closing up. He's like, you're blushing a little bit. I think I'm choking. It was gluten in the bread. Just kidding.
Well, they kiss. They really do have more, like, so much more chemistry than Austin. So I was happy at the very least.
Well, they didn't to me until this kiss part. Because she does this thing where she just looks at him and then she licks her lips, you know, which means, like, I want to kiss now. And so then they kiss and it's kind of awkward. But
I'm ready.
No, she was that like, okay, I've already done the I'm dumb thing. I've already eaten with my mouth open. I've already flung some dog shit that we found during lunch over his shoulder. Okay, let's make it.
Cut to the tour bus. Hi, everyone. This is Louise. Welcome to Louise Tours. I'm going to point out all the losers in town. Okay, there's two losers on a bench. That one, oh, I kind of know her. She's the biggest loser of all. Okay, mm-hmm. We're heading to Shep's house next.
Oh, okay. So next we go to
Patricia.
Patricia.
So Patricia's looking. She's like, where's my hand-painted pillow? Someone has moved it. I love how she's really so wealthy. She has nothing better to do than to go on scavenger hunts for her pillow.
And just accuse people. Like, who moved my hand-painted pillow? Randy. Ding, 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 ding. Randy, that was a hand-paint. First of all, get a fucking real pillow, people. Hand-painted pillows? Mm. No. Can we just all just have a collective no for hand-painted pillow? I get it. None. You're rich, okay? Go buy something useful. Fucking hand-painted pillow? There's a good ninja out. Go buy a ninja. Buy a ninja. Might I suggest a ninja fryer oven? Then also toasting. Okay? Have someone hand-paint that shit. Jesus. To tell rich people everything.
Just have an air fryer on your sofa. I think that Patricia was just trying to build a case to fire Randy. She's like, well, nowadays you can't just fire someone unless you got documentation. So I want to write down first offense, hand-painted pillow on the wrong sofa. All right.
As I've been reminded by Whitney, the new minority in America is the straight white male can't just fire Randy for no reason. Randy does look completely traumatized, I just have to say. This is the second time seeing Randy, and Randy looks like he's just been crying and maybe cutting himself. I'm just going to say, help Randy.
He's like, there's just so much to learn. So so then Whitney walks through, and he's like, hello, mother. How are we? We are tired because we've been resting on the incorrect pillows on the incorrect beds. Can't get any good sleep with that. Randy.
But Randy whizzes in. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, other than that, it's also because someone was partying until 4 o'clock in the morning last night.
And Randy's just whizzing in like, yes, hello, ma'am. She's like, maybe that would, Randy, could you get me a drink? My usual martini, please. Now, Whitney, sit up straight and put your leg down. And he's like, oh, it's the furniture in here. I mean, it's a museum in here. It's just not comfortable. I just can't get comfortable in here. She's like, shut up and sit down, Whitney.
Yeah, to sit up mother. Straight. hunchback fool. He goes, well, I'm just saying, mother, it's form over function, mother. Form over function. Well, that's what we almost named you, form over function, son. So just shut up and sit down. And then Randy comes in with the martinis. Now, Randy, see how many times I have to tell you, that glass is upside down. Don't you wonder why there's a puddle on your tray?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. Now go back and sit on the ninja. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, you know the Brits never touch glasses when they cheers, right, Whitney? They just say cheers. And he's like, well, we're American, though.
It's considered gauche, sort of like your haircut, son. So, did you talk to Madison? I'm really sorry. I wanted to go to her party, but then I remembered every single person who was going to be there, so I got sick.
I told her I'll go to your next wedding party. Yeah, we'll celebrate the richness of marriage, huh? And she tells us a story about her father. Her father didn't get married till the 60s, and so Whitney has some of that DNA. And he says he's looking, but he just hasn't found the one.
Well, I say get over 22-year-old models. You always complain about them being inarticulate. Well, I mean, let's expand the search.
Well, you want to bring home some girl going door to door selling alcohol to bars, trying to make it big in the world of fashion, am I right? Expand the search.
He goes, well, but to quote the Keebler Elves, you can't rush richness, mother. What the fuck? Can't rush richness. Who wrote that? What gay hating little elf wrote that tagline? Fuck that gay elf. Hey, gay hating elf.
I didn't pay for you to go to university and interview Andre Leon Talley to quote the Keebler Elves.
Well, to quote Renob, your boner is backwards. Get it fixed and get a decent woman in here.
To quote those old ladies from the 80s, where's the beef? And by beef, I mean wife.
To quote Randy, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Can I please stop sitting on the ninja? My ass is burnt.
To quote the old rumpled man with the mustache, time to make the donuts. By donuts, I mean babies, please. Grandbabies.
So then we go to Madison's house, and she's doing her hair to call her mom, which I think is so Southern.
Yeah, well, her mom's named Tara, which is one letter away from Tiara, so you always got to make sure your hair looks nice.
Isn't it also the mansion in... Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
I think it is. So she's terrifying. She's terrifying. Okay.
Terrifying. Yeah.
She really is. She's like perfect and blonde and gorgeous, and she doesn't come to her daughter's wedding party. It's like, wait a minute. What's going on with Tara? You know?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, I like when she answers the phone. She goes, Madison. And she goes, hi, Mal. You look cute. Where are you going? She's like, well, I'm going to lunch with a friend, and then we're going to go antiquing. That's what my hobby is, finding treasures and then destroying them.
Well, I saw in an article that modern mixed with antiques is the new thing, so you're already ahead of the trend, Mama.
Yeah, that's how they cast your TV show, too, I hear.
Yeah, you know, I got to do something to keep me busy, honey. I can only shuck so much in a day. Now, what were we born for? Corn, Mama. That's right, baby. Born for corn.
So when are you going to come visit, Mama?
She goes, well, I want to come down for the weekend. You know, I was so sad that I missed your trashy little party, you know. But I'll call you before just to confirm when I'm coming down. I'm going to bring some antiques for you. You thought about an antique dildo? Am I allowed to say that on this TV show?
Mother.
So Madison's like,
well, that'll be good to see you, because, you know, my husband's gone with his daddy, and Brett's gone to save the world. I'm just all alone over here.
She's like, well, honey, I'm impressed with you being a little wife and all that cooking you're doing. Look at you boiling water these days. What did you make, Raymond? God, everybody loves Raymond. I know where you got that from. I'll teach you how to make the best cornbread. It's all about the pan, baby.
She literally... recommended a cornbread recipe died. After
I died when she literally brought up corn.
It's been a year of us saying born for corn. And the fact that she said cornbread, I was cackling. I was hoping they would say born for corn again.
Well, the fact that she brought up some kind of corn food again, and she also brought up antiquing again. I guess that's her. She's like, I'm going to make this my thing. I'm going to be on TV, and everyone's going to know me as Terrifying, the lady who loves corn and antiques.
I guess who I want to hang out with? Terrifying, because I am down for both those, mainly the corn, but I'll go antiquing with her.
Yeah, 100%. So Madison's like, well, I have made him hamburger helper once or twice. I'm not going to lie about that, mama. Now, okay, audience out there, America, let me tell you a funny story. This is good, okay?
So I make this pot roast for Brent, and my pot roast is real, real good.
It's not. Can I just tell you, I already know that this pot roast is not good. I can just tell.
Yep.
It's bad. You're too new. Like, you're too new at pot roast. You know what I mean? Pot roast is not just like you do it a couple of times and you're great at it. Okay. Yeah. You've never made a pot roast before, like a month ago. Let's stop pretending we're pot roast experts.
You're going to mess up your seasoning because it's too big of a piece of meat. 100%. You have to know.
And it's going to be too chewy.
Too chewy. It will not be braised enough. It won't be right. We know.
You don't eat pot roast. I can tell you that. She's not eating pot roast because there's sugar or something in it.
Maybe.
And Brett is too hot.
Maybe she just put a pot in the oven and roasted the pot. I make a real good pot roast.
And also, Brett is too up her ass to really tell her what he thinks, which we find out in this scene. So you can't really make a good pot roast until you practice and people judge the shit out of your pot roast.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, okay, back to my really good story. So I make a really good pot roast, and then like I gave it to Brett, and he just like sat there, and then he ate it, but he left all the carrots around. And then I was like, oh my God, he's allergic to fucking carrots, and he didn't even complain. Isn't he so nice? I was like, that's a, yeah, great, funny story. You don't even pay attention enough to the fact that your husband has a deathly allergy. Great. Super funny.
That was pretty funny. What do you do when he's gone, honey? Are you lonely?
She's like, well, I have to stay busy. Yeah, I'm here alone, but that could change, mama, because we're talking about getting off birth control, okay? Could you imagine how a man, wouldn't it be amazing to picture a grandbaby for you that closes its mouth occasionally and doesn't splurt the milk that you've worked so hard to produce back in your face?
I thought you got off birth control when you stopped dating Austin. I mean, talk about one man who could make someone's ovaries shrivel up. Am I right?
I didn't even know you needed birth control after your ovaries took a run for the hills during the Austin years, honey. So she's talking about how Brett did take a step back from the front line. She goes,
yeah, normally the guys who do have families, they aren't like dead in the front. No pun intended. Okay. Now, if I have a baby, I'd want him around all the time. What the fuck with the so just put the single men out there. Just burn the single men. Anybody gay and single?
Yeah,
those are the flamers. No pun intended. Okay.
I know. So then Madison's basically like, I miss him when he's gone. And Tara's like, yeah, I know. And then drops the phone. Because she probably saw a really great antique nearby or some corn. So then
the mom's just like, I'm over this. Like, how long do I have to pretend to like you? This has been a long scene.
Comb your hair. Mother, I just put product in it.
What do I have to do to end this scene? Okay, I'm just going to drop my phone.
Whoops. Mom can't hold the phone.
Ba-dump, 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 ba-dump. Austin Mama. And Greg.
Mama?
No, sorry. Never mind.
Was that part of the song?
No, it could be. It was an errant mama. Austin and Craig in a golf cart going down the street, and JT hops on. So they all head down to this uptown social, and they sit down, and JT just turns to Austin and goes, I never tried your beer. I was like, what?
You're so losing funny.
Points by the minute.
Yeah. And Austin's like, wow, losing points by the minute, dude. And he goes, yeah, well, I think I'll try a Jack and Diet for now. He goes, wow, I never tried your beer, and I'll get a Jack and Diet. Son of a bitch.
So Shep shows up, and he's like, hey, JT, do I know you? Oh, sorry, that's some of the wit that I picked up reading about Molière. Ha!
Oh my God, remember last time we were here, JT, and we danced to that song, Who Runs the Girl? Old White Man. Who Runs the World? Old White Man. That was amazing.
Hey, Austin, you went vest too. We're both wearing vests. I guess we're both really invested in fashion. Oh, hashtag Mobier.
And JT's like, whoa, yeah, you got the Wayne foot going on that chest? He goes, yeah, I did. You know what? I shot an 83 that course. And JT's like, whoa, that course is hell. Oh, yeah, dude, we got to play. You know what? I got to play Royal Melbourne. He goes, how'd you get in there? I'll tell you how. So we met these two girls.
Do we have to hear this story again? I cannot hear this story again. Can we not go through the golf story? Oh, it's insane right now.
You're like, please just tell the short story. Shep's like, okay. So I meet these two identical twins in their 20s.
That's a good start. That's a good start. Okay.
And Craig's like, did you guys get to have a threesome? And Shep's like, oh no, that would have been the happy ending. Whoa, hole in two, am I right?
I want to hear more about the stories about Australia. Okay, it was great, man. So we met a lot of girls. It was fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful, hot girls. I'm so sad about Taylor. And then more hot girl stories. So one night I went to a restaurant and these two hot girls walked in. The identical twins or other girls? Other girls! It was amazing.
Poor Shep is trying really hard to get everybody to believe that he's got girls hanging all over the place. It's so sad, you know? And I get, like, wanting to be single. Obviously, hello, it's me. But he's giving off a very strong vibe of not wanting to be single. This whole trip sounds very sad. I went golfing. There was a girl there. I got in golfing because there was a girl. Then I went to this wedding with a girl where there was also girls. Whoa, the bride loved me. Accidentally gave her vows to me. I was nuts.
Yeah, everything is about that. So JT's like, so do you do Hinge or Raya? He's like, oh no, I don't. I'm tall.
I had organic success.
Yeah, I'm wealthy and tall. Yeah, I know you don't understand that, but we don't need to use apps. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And JC's like, listen, now I'm not a relationship counselor, but you were with Taylor. Why would you let Taylor go? What a girl. Petite, blonde, Caucasian. I mean, it's hard to do better than her. She's literally perfect. Now, can I be honest with you? You should find a way to marry that girl. Listen, you're not going to find a lot of blonde white ladies in the South.
Well, there are plenty of fish in the sea, my friend. And girls. So, the best girl in the world. I mean, Taylor's the best girl in the world. I mean, Taylor's a cat. Talk about fish in the sea. She's a catch of the day. I'm trying to understand why you let her go. If you catch a world record fish, you don't throw it back in the ocean. I mean, I guess maybe sometimes you do, but you kill it and you eat it for dinner. Am I right? Why would you ever get rid of Taylor? Best girl.
So basically what they've done is they have cast a messy ass on this show, which I love. So he is going against the tall guy. He's basically Team Craig because Craig has always been out on the edges of this group because he was like, he's not from the South and he's from Delaware or something. And he doesn't come from a ton of money or whatever. And so he's always been on the outside for that. And so he's always trying to cause shit with the guys. But now here he has backup. And I love it. Watching them work together to destroy these two with a smile on their face. Guys, my heart like literally was warm. I was like, oh my God, am I getting hot in here? No, it's just my heart. It's warmed.
Yeah. This guy was giving me strange, like, short Southern man version of Ramona vibes. Just sort of like just saying it and just like not even caring. Just going, just. And like, clearly this was awkward territory. And like the whole rest of the episode, he's just like Ramona, you know? So Austin's like, what is going on? And Craig's like, he's in love with a girl. Craig, I'm not in love with her. And he goes, yeah, but she walks in and you light up. I mean, I think you light up. I sort of have to clear out some space and look all the way down to see if there's a light by my feet. But yeah, you light up.
It's like you look like one of those tennis shoes that every time you take a step, it lights up.
Like I look down and just see it blinking every once in a while. And Austin's like, well, I light up when she comes in the room too. And that doesn't mean I'm in love with her. And Chef's like, you do spend a lot of time together. Well, yeah, because we're super close. Like she was always calling me about you. And JT's like, wait, but don't you care that this guy is hanging out with your ex? Like, isn't that a little weird?
I don't care. I don't care at all because I went to Australia and there were so many girls. JT's like, huh? He's like, you know, it's for Taylor to decide who she wants to hang out with. I'm progressive.
And JT's like, come on, this bro code, bro. And Shep proves, Shep basically confirms Craig's theory, which is,
see, I sort of see Austin as a life raft between me and Taylor. Like, I get info, and I ask how she is, and I say, what's she up to? Has she sold any day chasers? Please let me know. And then I go back to masturbating into other people. It really is the best of both worlds.
You know, with Taylor, you gotta be careful with the relationship. I mean, you're talking to his ex, okay? And when you have a sleepover with a girl that's your friend's ex, because he's saying this to Austin, and Shep's like, Shep's head is like, Garsh, what are you talking about, sleepover? Well, you know, because the other night, we were at a bar, and then Taylor was like, I'm tired, so we all went to Austin's, and then, you know, Austin, you let me leave, and then it was just the two of you, and then the next morning, I was like, hey, Taylor, love of my life, do you want to get coffee? And she was like, I'm leaving Austin's just now. That's weird. Did I just say all that stuff out loud? Whoops.
In other words, hey, I can't believe that Raquel spent the night over at Sandoval's after they went into a hot tub and then stayed over, and Adriana didn't even know about it while she was out of town.
Darling, I know.
I thought that too, because I was like, I believe the word that's missing in this entire exchange is a JT that you dipped out. You dipped out from Austin's.
And Austin is like biting his lips. He's like, what the hell, bro? Okay, that's what you get. Okay, you have tall privilege, but he has messy little person privilege, and he's going to come in here and splatter all your mess everywhere. That's what you get. Make another short joke, stupid. Go ahead.
Exactly. So Austin starts going like, listen, we both like he was literally like a broken robot, and like his tongue was just like flapping out of control.
His mouth just keeps moving, but no words are coming out. So Craig's like,
yeah, wait, she spent the night at your house that night?
Yeah, well, I thought she left, and then she was in the guest room, and then she walks into my room, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know you were here. This is insane right now. And she said, yeah, because I got drunk. And
I was like, oh my God, be a better liar, dude. You lie so much. Like, you are proof that practice doesn't make perfect. I mean, geez.
I don't need you to be a better liar. Just be more of an original liar, because you literally stole the Tom and Raquel lie. Like, it's the exact same lie from the hot tub night. So JT's like, listen, I do think your relationship with Taylor, I mean, it's a little gray. It's a little murky. And she's like, yeah, I do feel that way. But I don't have a claim over anybody. Not me. I'm progressive Shep these days.
Well, if Shep had a sleepover with Olivia, you'd be pissed about that, wouldn't you, my tall brother? And Austin's like, oh, God, don't even talk like that.
JT goes, well, it is a little murky.
No, when I think of her, I feel like I'm just like a protective brother. We're like,
yeah, but like protective, like the way they are in Game of Thrones, you know? They fuck each other in Game of Thrones. Craig's like, have you guys?
No, you know, like they are in that Lifetime. Flowers in the Attic, they're also protective in that show.
Have you guys ever kissed? And Austin goes, let me just wipe my mouth. No.
I will too.
Craig's like, I'm going to get a beer. Listen, he looked down and to the left when he said that, and I've seen Law and Order before, so.
Yeah, because we all know when you look down to the left, that means you're lying. That's why Beyonce sings that song, because she's talking about a box to the left that's lying.
So, honest question, is it my left or your left? Like, if you're looking down into the left. Right. I thought it was up and to the right, too. Like, you're looking into your head to come up with something.
Let me see.
Let's look it up, because I think that was my first thought, too.
Look when you're lying.
Tell someone is lying. Look.
Okay. Debunk the myth that people... Oh, look. Okay, so it is to the left, but apparently when people lie, they maintain eye contact 70% of the time. So that's debunked.
Oh, really? So you can tell they're lying if they keep their eyes and I need to stop trying to look everybody in the eye.
Doesn't mean that you're lying. It just means that looking to the left is not a sign of lying because liars are often.
Okay. So being vague, offering few, these are signs of lying. Being vague, offering few details. Okay. He's doing that. Repeating questions before answering them.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if he's doing that. Speaking in sentence fragments. I mean, speaking sentences with your lips while other sentences are coming out of your mouth tonally, which was Austin. Just kidding. Failing to provide specific details. Okay. Grooming behaviors such as playing with hair. He's literally playing with his hair and, hands over his mouth. Okay, I want to see.
Here's something from Time Magazine. By the way, this is really unhelpful. This is from Time Magazine. Facial clues. The eyes. Someone who is lying might stare or look away at a crucial moment. Well, that's not helpful. They're either going to be looking at you or not looking at you. That's how you know they're lying.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's one. This is from NBC News. Notion that liars glance to the right. Debunked. A glance up to the left supposedly means a person is telling the truth, whereas a glance to the upper right signals deceit. However, new research thoroughly debunks these notions. As it turns out, you can't smell a liar by where he looks. Dun, dun, dun.
The mouth. Rolling the lips back to the point where they almost disappear could be a sign that someone is lying by omission. Well, I don't think Austin's capable of doing any of that, so it's physically impossible for him.
Okay, so back to it. Now we all know how, now we've all learned nothing, basically. Okay, no lessons here today. So Craig goes to get a beer and says that thing about the lying, and Austin's clearly lying. You don't have to have watched spy movies to know that he's lying.
He is lying. Craig is right. Yeah. He's lying. So Austin's like, listen, there are friends in my life where I can share a bed and things like don't happen. And I kind of feel that way about Taylor. Huh. I'm like, well, but you just said that she was in the guest room. So,
Wait, so you've slept with Taylor? And he goes, no, no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So wait, so then you've never kissed? Hand on a Bible. Hand on a Bible? You think that's going to mean shit to Austin?
Yeah. I'm sure these are very religious people. So Austin's like, no, never did it. And he goes, I just told you. And Shep goes, I believe you. Let's drop it, Garsh. And he goes, at the core of this, Austin is a very core friend of mine. And I have to go with what Austin says because that's what friends do. They trust each other. Plus, this way I can look like the better friend when later on I find out that this is true. And I can say, I believed you.
Yeah, exactly. So then we go back to Vanita's house, and she's still just sitting with Charles. But this time, Madison comes over, and they're going to pull some weeds together. Which,
yeah.
Wow. Weeds. So they start talking about this party and how What's-Her-Buns was acting crazy and gave her a dildo. And Madison is just,
I can just not believe somebody would give me a dildo. Okay, I'm a homemaker now. I do homemaking things. I boiled water and put ramen noodles in there.
Yeah. Madison is so much of a homemaker now that she has apparently won best yard of the month 2 months in a row. I just want to know what publication that is. Like, was that The Economist or was that just like Tara's home newsletter? Winner of best yard, my daughter, Madison, 12th month in a row. Sorry, losers.
And then we see her doing Instagrams where she's like,
look at me, watering plants. You know why? Because I'm a married lady now. A lady who loves her husband. And you know what men love? Plants. Plants in the front of their house. So that's what I'm doing. Hey, plant, you want a little pot roast? Feeding plants. Just feeding the plant's dying. Are you allergic to carrots? Come back, plant.
Okay. So Vanita's like, you know what? Taylor was really spiraling. I think what we need to do is we need to have like a bit of a girl's night so we can sort of like reel her in and let Taylor know that if she's feeling like she's spiraling, she can call one of us instead of making a scene at a party.
Oh, okay.
You know what we should have? A girl's night where we can all be together while I dildo shame this girl. Okay? That's where we should be.
Like, Vanita, you're on a reality TV show. We are here for the spiraling, okay? Like, more spiral. We want you to spiral, actually, if that's possible.
Yeah, spin that top already. So, Vanita, yeah. So, Madison's like,
well, you know, when you're dating someone who has all these guys who are best friends, I mean, they're going to go with each other, not her.
And she's like, yeah, I think the only person that actually didn't do that to her was Austin. And Madison's like,
well, I have my own thoughts about Austin. I mean, okay, he's low-key in love with her. There, I was going to try and hold it in, but honestly, it's Austin, and it's just painful having him anywhere in my thoughts. So there it goes. You spread it around. Spread it wide.
Not born for corn. So now we go back to the bros, who are on, by the way, they're on like a very sad pub crawl because they're just going to empty bar to empty bar to empty bar. Is this like a Tuesday? What's happening?
Probably.
So JT's like, okay, if we go somewhere else, let's talk about something fun. Okay. So they walk to a new bar and Chip's like, gosh, that was a lot. I'm like, Jesus, I'm pretty evolved, LOL. But I think it would be really fucked up if Austin slept with Taylor.
I'm so evolved. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on women in the workplace in about 5 minutes.
Yep.
So Craig's like, wait, so you don't think they kissed? Are you guys, you guys are 40. Like, stop. What, you think they kissed? Everybody in this town dates everybody else. You guys are the ones who have told us that for years. So let's just all get over it. Okay. I'm already over the story. They shouldn't have leaked this 10 months ago.
So Shep is like, she's like, I don't have any idea. And I'm not going to play detective because honestly, I'm too wealthy to do that sort of job. But, you know, Austin, fucking Austin, right? He's like, well, you've never admitted to me that you thought it was weird. And it is weird because I have a Craig code. Have you heard about the Craig code? It's like the Da Vinci code. But if like Da Vinci had exes who were like talking to and like, it's just like not cool.
And Shep's like, well, I thought they had a good relationship and then it ended, but it got stronger. Hopefully this isn't going to be another Scandagarsh.
So they go to this new bar that's called, like, I don't know what it's called, but it's, but they're there and Rodrigo joins them. And this bar has like merch that says Big Deck Energy. So Craig really wants to get that merch and they want JT to wear the merch, but JT is like very insecure about wearing the merch. He like really doesn't want to. And he's, cause Craig's like, hey, if I buy you a Big Deck Energy shirt, will you wear? And JT's like, I don't know. I mean, if it says I have a baby dick, I'm not going to wear it. Cause I don't have a baby dick. I don't. And I wasn't tormented about that all my life. So no, I don't want to wear a deck shirt. No, I'm not going to do it.
No, it says like Big Deck. And he's like, but that still sounds like dick. So no.
So we start seeing his insecurities already spiraling out, which is hilarious.
Hilarious. And so then he wears this shirt and Shep's wearing like a Big Deck Energy hat and everything. And Rodrigo comes and he's like chugging a beer. And Austin's like, oh, Rodrigo. I had known Rodrigo for like a decade at this point. Oh, he's like best friends with some of my best friends from like other best friends from like high school. Like some of the friends I used to like drive across lawns with from the lacrosse team, you know? And he's like one of my favorite humans in Charleston.
So then we get a Rodrigo story. He's like, guys, last night I was at Rarebit with my boyfriend Tyler, and I ran into my ex-boyfriend and his wife. And then I did this face at him like, oh, what? Wife, and he was like, no more guys, only women. And I was like, we should hang out sometime. And then Tyler, whatever his name is, thought I was serious, and he was like, you really want to hang out with your ex and his girlfriend? And I was like, no, I'm fucking kidding.
Didn't really sound like a joke, but you know,
I love that though. Just someone who's like, hey, you want to hang out? I was totally kidding, fucking loser.
So then Austin's like, he just turns to JT because now he wants to give it back to JT. He goes, hey, JT, when was the last time you had sex? And JT's like, JT's like, with a girl? He's like, why am I ever going to answer to you about my sex life? And Austin's like, you don't have to say who. When was the last time you had sex? I just want to know. Hold on.
He's like, what about you? When was the last time you had sex? He's like, 6 days ago. Conjugal visit.
They say, do we know her? And he's like, yeah, okay, you guys are trying too hard with this fake storyline of hooking. Like, it's painfully obvious that you guys are just all faking this storyline now. He's like, what? Maybe you know who I had sex with 6 days ago, right after I was making Shep insecure about me possibly banging Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. So Craig is like, is it because... And JT goes, well, I haven't been interested in anyone. Is it because of Taylor? Are you holding out for Taylor, the love of your life, Taylor? You love Taylor, don't you? Do you wish you were a child with braces and Taylor could be an assistant for the process? You love Taylor.
Craig, you got to drop this narrative.
And Shep walks off all pissed that they're coming for him again. And Craig's like,
well, I mean, you do have Big Deck Energy, bro.
That's a t-shirt you're wearing.
Say something about him being short.
So then Austin, so Shep goes to the bar, so then Austin follows him, and Shep is like, JT's like, oh, you'll never find another one like her. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? I'm like, oh God, maybe not. I just know how much she loved me and how much I sometimes acknowledge her presence. And I can't believe we're out drinking and talking about failed relationships. Gosh.
gosh, I really miss having someone to call stupid every day. And now Craig joins them. And so they've just all left the newbies, the new which is so funny.
Stuck having awkward conversation at another table. And JT's talking to Rodrigo. They're like, well, I guess we got to have conversation. He's like, so how do you know Austin? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Austin. I met Austin years ago when he was a normal person. And then he turned into a douche. Well, he was always a douche. But now he's like just a gross douche.
Yeah. So then back to Shep. Shep's like, that was my longest relationship, bros.
Craig's like, well, you never acted like you cared. I mean, we knew you did care. Like, maybe you're softer than you put off. Wow, look at Shep. Like, Shep has a heart, guys. Audience. Shep is still the heartbeat of this show, okay?
And Austin is visibly annoyed. Like, the annoyance of someone who hates hearing the girl that he's in love with being talked about in this way. So Craig is like, maybe it bothers you more than you admit how much she hangs out with Austin. Because, like, I've never seen you be concerned about that. And I think you should be angry. Do you want to be angry right now? You want to start? You can be angry. Be mad right now.
Yeah, I hate Austin. You should beat up Austin. Austin's like, I'm sitting right here, bro. Come on, I'm right here. I can hear you.
He is like actively trying to get Shep mad. And like they are just talking about Austin right there.
Yeah, it's like, so funny.
I thought we were okay, but now she's spending nights with Austin. Austin's so dumb. What the dumbest person? Why do we ever become friends with Austin? I know. I can't stand Austin.
I'm right here. I'm right here, bro.
So Shep's like, but did you kiss her? What's going on? He goes, no, listen, if something had transpired, I would have told you, bro.
Yeah, but not after a one-night stand, then you wouldn't? Like, you're just saying you could have slept, but then if there was only a real... What are you saying?
And he's like, I mean, at that point, it wouldn't be cool to say something to someone, because that would just be hurtful, right? Like, I mean, if it was just a one-night stand, why would I say anything about that? I would just be hurtful.
Yeah, like if I only watched part one of the Vietnam War, I wouldn't just tell you that because that would make you hurt that I didn't finish the whole thing. You watched part one of the Vietnam War, didn't tell me? Gosh.
Wow, ouch. That was a real Ken Burn.
So then Craig's like, this is so bad, Austin. He's laughing. He's cracking up to us saying, this is so bad, Austin. And Austin's like, oh my God, can we please stop pounding this into Shep's brain? Let's just go watch a sunset, right? So they move back to the other guys. Oh, they go to Ink Rooftop, which has the sunset. By the way, it is a gorgeous sunset at the top of the city, right?
Yeah, it's very nice.
And so like, wow.
It was nice. They go to the sunset to see the sunset, and JT's like, can I take this shirt off now? I can't believe I'd have my good character smirched with a dick pun. So they're there, and Roddy brings them some beers, and JT's like, I don't care what anyone says about you, Roddy. You're a good guy. And you know, Roddy's like, who was saying otherwise? Is Tyler here?
Is that supposed to be funny? Stupid. Hey, JT, we should go out sometime.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Fucking idiot. Stupid.
He thought for the old let's hang out time joke.
So JT, of course, listen, the only way in this town that people define themselves is by relationships. It's always made me crazy about this show, but it's like, are you going to get married? Are you not going to get married? When are you going to get married? Why are you going to get married? Who are you going to get married to? When are you going to have children? What are you like? My head explodes. So of course they're on him again, this JT guy, about Craig's like, when was your last serious relationship though? We need to talk about this again. And then JT's like, well, it's my ex-wife. Cause I got married out of college 6-7 years. Great girl. She was great. She was great. Great love story. She was English. And so we kind of got married so she could get a visa. So, I mean, maybe it was a little forced. And Craig goes, yeah, well, not a great love story.
He goes, yeah, well, it wasn't because of the visa. But, you know, when you fall in love with a girl and the government says you break up with her, you do what you got to do. You man up and you say, how are we going to solve this problem? You know, it's like, you know, Craig, like if you were dating some great girl in New York, you wouldn't just stay in Charleston. You'd go to New York because you do what you got to do to fix the situation. Right, Craig?
Wait a minute.
Well, anyway, then she married a ski instructor, and now she lives in the Alps, and she's doing great. Okay! And he turns away and looks at the sunset.
And Shep, in case you didn't know, he was a man of privilege. He goes, wait, which Alps? Italian Alps? French Alps? Swiss Alps? God, I have a chalet in each one of them.
Let's just stop talking about this. All right, let's do shots. So now Shep and Craig are alone again, and... Shep, this is where we get to know Shep really shows himself, you know, after a couple of drinks, because he's been on his like, wow, I'm so changed and sensitive now. Just look at me, new Shep. So he goes, I think in 50, 60 years, like the traditional relationship like our parents had, it's not even going to be a thing. I mean, girls, they want careers and stuff now. I don't know. It's all very progressive.
Like, air quote progressive. Oh, girls wanting careers. Yeah, they've been wanting careers for decades.
Shep, this is so embarrassing. Oh my God. I don't even know why I would be embarrassed for you or why I would even be surprised that he would say that. But wow.
I just think lust and love are two different things. Lust happens in the blink of an eye and doesn't mean much, but it's like it's something. It's like, you shouldn't be held accountable because you got lust. We all have lust. Just how girls want careers, guys have lust. It's just something that's in us.
Oh, my God. What a broken person. So, and not in a fun way, you know? Like, there are fun broken people. I mean, it is Bravo, you know? It's like a cobblestone street of television. Like, it's supposed to be broken. But,
don't worry. I think he's being phased out. He's getting, like, Shep is getting the Catherine Dennis treatment, which is that he's being introduced, like, 20 minutes into the episode instead of, like, at the top of the episode. Yeah. So, I don't know if we're going to have that Shep that much longer.
They're bringing in all the new guys.
Yep.
You know? So Austin is, you know, now they're talking about the girls, you know, Shep getting married. Austin's saying, you know, I think Shep knows you're in love with Taylor, JT. He's trying to turn it now on JT. He's like, but you know what, bro, next time don't bring it up. And JT's like, absolutely, but you're the one who's hanging out with his ex. Yeah, but I've known him about 7 years. So
that makes it worse. That makes it worse. I mean, look, yeah. Do I fall in love with girls who are out of my league? Do the girls leave me and go to various different Alps and live a life of luxury and wonderment? Yes. But you, I mean, you've known her for 7 years, so the stakes are even higher for you.
And back to Craig and Shep. Shep's like, honestly, I just don't know. I mean, I'll give this 50-50. What can I do? Go back in time and bust through a door? No. I wouldn't be surprised if they looked at each other one night and said, let's go for it. No one's going to know. And then they did it. All right, you've convinced me that no one likes me anymore. I just wanted someone to walk past and throw their coat on Shep's head. Just like completely irrelevant. My God.
Randy comes by. This is from Miss Patricia. Just puts a coat on his head. So that was it for Southern Charm. Everyone, thank you so much for being here and listening. Go check out that bonus episode with Taylor Strecker. So much fun. And we are going to catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.